thank you for this day, God. We just thank you for all that you've done this week in our own lives, Lord. We're here to meet with you today, God. So will your Holy Spirit just fall on this place, Lord. And may our worship just be a sweet, sweet sound to your ear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.
Yes, let's worship. Every minute, every second, we need you to hold our hand, Lord.
Hope is here, shout the news to everyone. It's a new day, peace has come. Jesus saves, mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us. Jesus saves. Hope is here, but a joyful noise we'll make as we join in heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Free at last, every debt has been repaid. Broken hearts can be remade. Jesus saves. Sing above the storms of life. Sing it through the darkest night. Jesus saves. Free at last, what a joyful noise we'll make as we join in heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. You saved, you heal, restore, reveal your Father's heart to us. You rose, you raised us from the grave. Your Spirit lives in us. Sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves.
Yes, He is the only way.
Power on earth or heaven.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, such peace in that truth that nothing can separate us from your love, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
You may be seated. If those who are helping serve communion would come up. This is for those who belong to him. Yeah, it's thinking about the communion and the phrase we often call it the Lord's table. And I was pondering that phrase. All of a sudden I remembered Psalm 23, where David, come on up when you're ready to come. When David made that wonderful phrase, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And I thought about the Lord's table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. You know, we sang about no demon, no angel, no demon separating us. We are celebrating the Lord's table today in the presence of our enemies. You realize that. Our enemies are not the political world that we get upset with. It's our real enemies are unseen. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle's against spirit and powers in the heavenly realms where we don't see. And we are, today the thought was on my mind, we're celebrating. We are at this table surrounded by the enemies who are watching this and seeing this. And our God is so mighty and so powerful, he can establish this and serve us from his table, surrounded by the enemies of our souls. And they can't touch us by his great power and mercy. So we're going to allow you to take the elements today, and you hold on to them. And as you're holding on to them, we're going to sing a song and think about what you're singing as we receive this. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. No. Thank you, Bev. We have, if anybody has a gluten issue and you can't eat these regular crackers, we have gluten crackers. If you just put your hand up, if you would like that. Okay. You want me to just go back and serve them? Why don't I do that? Okay. You go right ahead and let's go on with the song.
Now death, where is your sting? I'll We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
Savior. You know, it's always interesting to me in the scriptures when it talks about the Lord's table and the words that were spoken. It always says, in the night he was betrayed. And pondering that, just thinking, he overcame the emotional trauma of betrayal, being betrayed, to follow through with his breaking the bread, or his body and his blood for us. You know, you've been betrayed. Most of us in here have had something, a disappointment of some sort from another human being. And sometimes we kind of pout over it, right? We just ponder it. It almost emotionally disables us. But I think about Jesus. This was, he right in the midst of offering himself, he experienced and knew the betrayal was coming, and he could just move on and do what he needed to do, being the Savior of the world for us. He overcame all that trauma. Our Father, we want to thank you for the story of the cross. We want to thank you for the whole, we call it the passion of Christ. Jesus, you, as the Son, were obedient. Father, you sent the Son, and he obeyed you, and he came. And nothing was going to keep him from the cross when it was the time. We thank you for that. Jesus, you knew your body had to be tortured. You had to feel the pain. That's how ugly our sin is. Jesus, help us to see ourselves the way you see us when you went to the cross, and to understand why we need what you did for us. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat the bread together. night they ate the bread, and then Jesus took the cup, and the cup was full of a red wine, just like our red juice, to remind us that his blood was spilt. It's all poured out. Jesus instructed us to understand that this reminds us of the blood of the new covenant. After his blood was shed, no more animal sacrifices were needed. It's the final sacrifice, the once and only sacrifice. But now it's our job to remember. And we do this to remember what he has done for us and what he has given us. Jesus, thank you. The amazing pouring out of your blood for us. Blood, that's such an interesting phrase. It washes us whiter than snow. We know blood to stain, but not your blood. Your blood cleanses us. We thank you for that. And we thank you for the understanding, and we thank you for the hope that we enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink together. Okay. Those of you who come regularly here, you know things aren't like they usually are. If you're a visitor with us today, just want you to understand I'm not senior pastor here. I'm just an old retired pastor that gets to put his pastor mantle on once in a while. Our senior pastor is at home, or probably the hospital, taking care of his wife Barb, who just had a surgery on her back, and we're very much concerned. I did check with Pastor this morning, and he wanted you to know that they're still talking about her coming home sometime today from the hospital, but it was a rough night last night that they were having a hard time relieving the pain with the medication that she's taking. So just continue to keep Pastor Joel and Barb in your prayers as they walk through this. If the ushers would come up, please, and we're ready for the morning offering. And while you're doing that, if you're a first-time visitor, we invite you to pick up a gift package we have on the table as you go out in the back there and fill out the visitor's card. Let that here for us. And let's bow in prayer. Father, we are so blessed. I mean, even if nothing else was good in life, we are blessed to know you're living, you're alive. Father, you're on your throne. Jesus, you're right at his right hand. You're alive. You're very much aware of us and what's going on in our lives, if we can remember that you know that and call out to you. Forgive us, Father, for the way we get so distracted by our own lives and things going on that we forget you. And we repent of that, Lord, before you. We humble ourselves before you, recognizing that we struggle with that. But we love you. Father, we thank you that in these these times when economics are really difficult and stressful, we're determined to keep on giving. Maybe not as much as we did, but we're not going to stop giving. Because you never stopped giving. You gave so much of yourself. It's in our DNA to be givers. So here we are, Lord, this morning. We are taking up an offering. And we ask that you'll be pleased with this, what is received this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Talking about offering, if you didn't notice, the offering envelopes are available at the back of the church on the table. They're in large manila envelopes. If you're a regular offering envelope user, your name is there with your number. Please pick that up as you go out today. Tonight there'll be no youth group meeting, and there will be no gathering of prayer at 4 o'clock today. With the holiday, we just thought we'll stay with your family, be with friends, just relax. Okay, it's Labor Day. Okay, we're celebrating you laboring by giving you time to relax is the idea of that. And next week we will resume prayer at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 to 6. Now, Saturday was our men's breakfast at 8 o'clock. So men, remember that. We always have a great time with that. And also, I just got an email from Stuart Johns, pastor up at the UB Church, United Brethren Church in Idaville. And their church is hosting a concert with Texas Star. It's a men's quartet. They'll be there 6 o'clock Saturday night, okay, the 9th, September 9th. They'll take up a love offering, but you're welcome. You're invited to come and participate in that. Now, next Sunday, you won't be here. Remember that. We're going to meet East Berlin Community Center Park at 10 o'clock. So if you come here, hopefully you won't see any cars. Nobody will be here. But and if you come at 10:44, you'll probably have missed it. So, but 10 o'clock next Sunday, be at the park. Now, we're serving you hot dogs with all the condiments and buns. If you want to eat something more than a hot dog, you have to bring it along, okay? And enough to share with somebody else. So bring a dish that you can, a dish to pass of either a dessert or a regular food, and we'll have a great time in fellowship. And a reminder that our next senior social meeting is coming up on September 25 at 2 o'clock. And we're so happy to have Libby with us. And I enjoyed the message in the first service. And I'm sure the second will be just what the first was, even better, that God will speak to you as Libby presents. Let me just pray, Libby. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Libby, that she has accepted the call to come and minister among us and with us. And I just pray for the amazing power of your Spirit to just swell up in her in these next minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. I'm going to move some of my stuff around here today. So we are going to be in Acts chapter 3. We're going to talk about looking up. Do I have any kids that can come help me? You're going to help me preach a little bit today. I need your help. Yeah, you guys can come right here, and then I'll... Right, come right down here, and I'll get you then, okay? Here they come. You can sit down. Let's sit down for a second. All right? All right, let me get one thing. Okay. Get my stuff. So, we're going to talk about looking up today. Okay? So sometimes, do you miss things that are right in front of you? Because I do it all the time. Do you? Do you ever go, like you are looking for something in your room, and it's a little bit of a mess or something, and you don't know where it is, so you go, Mom, where is it? And she goes, it's right there where I told you it was. Does that happen? Yeah? Do you ask your mom where stuff is, and she tells you, it's right where I told you it is? Yeah? Happens to me a lot, too. And Miss Steph left me stuff in my office for while she's in Thailand. I missed it, too. It was right in front of my face. I was looking for so long for it. It's right there. All the time. So, I sometimes think I'm a pretty observant person, but it looks like I'm not. I'm really not sometimes. And sometimes I think that we can tend to be in our own little worlds where we forget or we can't really see others around us. We'll let our busy schedules and our day-to-day life keep us from seeing the people around us. And I think that we need to ask God to open our eyes to those that are around us, right? Because we never know what's going to happen each and every day. So, before we get into the scripture, we're going to pray. You remember? Remember how we pray in kids' church? You ready? So let's fold our hands. You ready? So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this day, God, and speak to us through your word. And may our eyes be open to see what you have for us, and our hearts be open for all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job. All right. So who knows where Acts chapter 3 is? Because that's where we're going to be. You know where Acts chapter 3 is? Is it in the Old Testament or the New Testament?
New Testament.
Where?
The Testament.
Yeah, which one? The old or the new?
The new.
Good job. High five, Peter. Yeah. So we're going to be in the New Testament. Do you guys remember this is a Bible, right? Mm-hmm. So how much of it is true? Stop me when I get there. Just that much? Okay. Maybe a little more?
No.
Okay. That much?
No. No.
How much?
All of it.
All of it is true, right? Because it's God's word, so we can trust what it says. All right, so I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 3, and then you guys are going to help me. We're going to have to get into that duffel bag. I'm going to need a little bit of help. You ready? You can help me read? All right. So one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. That was at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money, and Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." The man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Are you ready to get into that bag and see? Okay. All right. You ready? Okay. Let me move this. All right. So I'm going to need some helpers. Okay. So we got to set our stage here. You're going to help me. We're going to put some visuals to this story. All right. So, you ready? Let me see. Let me look around here really quick. Can I have one volunteer who will stand? Okay. You want to go stand right here for me? Okay. Let me look around. Let me see what I can find in here. No, I don't need that. I don't think we need ducks for this story. Oh, here we go. Here we go. All right. You're going to be the gate Beautiful. You're not done. We got to finish. Okay, hold on. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. Okay. You're not done. Yep, this will make you look beautiful. Yep. Okay, you ready? Okay. All right. It's a little sunny out here, so we got to protect your eyes. So, okay. All right, so you come right here. Come right over here, and you stand right here for me. I need one more volunteer. Okay, Eva, come here. You're going to be the man who can't walk yet, so come here. Your friends, I just carried you. Your friends carried you. You're going to, yeah, okay. Let me see. Oh, you need this, because you need money. You're hungry. Okay, I need two more volunteers to help me. Okay. So,
I want to go.
Let's do, and you come here. And then the rest of you are going to be my crowds. Okay, so, yep, that'll work. All right, so, Peter. John, you're my Peter, you're my John. I almost forgot. It's really sunny. All right. I think that's all we need for right now. Okay. You ready? We're going to go to the temple. All right. Come here. All right. Come here. We're going to come over here. Okay. No, our gate can't move yet. Come here. Our gate stays put right here, okay? Stay right here. Just act beautiful. We're going to come to you. Okay. All right. You ready? Okay. I'm out of breath already. It's 3 in the afternoon. It's time to go pray. Are you ready? All right, so we're gonna walk. We're walking to that gate. Look how beautiful that gate is. Have you seen the gate so beautiful? Look at that. Okay, so my Peter and my John. So, our man, he says, I need money, I'm hungry. Can you say that?
I need money, I'm hungry.
I can't walk. So Peter, which one of you was my Peter? Okay, can you say, look at us.
Look at us.
Look at them. Can you see her? It's really sunny. There she is. So the man gave them his full attention. And then Peter said, are you ready? Repeat after me. You ready? Silver or gold?
Silver or gold?
I do not have.
I do not have.
But what I do have.
But what I do have.
I give you.
I give you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Of Nazareth.
Of Nazareth.
Walk.
Walk.
All right, so you're going to grab her by her hand and help her up. And she was able to walk, and she began jumping and leaping and praising God. And they all went into the temple together to pray. You ready? And we're to the temple. Good job. You guys are so much fun. Good job. All right. Go ahead and let's take your props off, and you can set them right there. I will clean that up later. You collected some props for me. Thank you. Gate Beautiful, do you need some help? Oh, I would love to give that to you, but I think my boyfriend would be upset if I don't give him his shirt back. I'm sorry. So, let's help you here. It's a fun shirt, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah. And then when you guys are done, I'll sugar you up and then you can go. Here, Peter, I'll take those family of ducks. All right, Peter, hold on to those for me. You guys are great. So, let's jump back in to our scripture today. So why was this man laid where he was every day? It was a custom for the poor to beg at the temple gates because there were many people that would come through these gates to pray throughout the day, and they were often more inclined to give to those in need. So if you were poor and you needed to beg, or if you were hungry, you would go to the temple gate and you would sit there to beg. It was probably a happening place. A lot of people would have probably been at the gates. So imagine day in and day out, you have to rely on friends and family to carry you around because you can't walk. So somebody's got to carry you to wherever you want to go. And they sit you down at the temple gates. It's probably hot. It's probably sunny. You can't really go anywhere. And you just have to sit there, and you have to beg for money. You have to beg so that you can eat. You have to beg to live. I can't even imagine how I would feel to have somebody have to carry me everywhere I went. I would probably get really nasty and really mean. I would also probably get frustrated. And I might even feel like a burden because I can't do anything on my own and everybody else has to help me. I think that I honestly would feel trapped because I couldn't go where I wanted to go or where I needed to go. And this man, everything revolved around when people would take him places, when they would carry him. And this man, and many others like him, probably became like the landscape. People just got so used to seeing them. So imagine, people get so used to seeing you that they begin to overlook you and kind of forget that you're just sitting there. I can imagine this man probably felt unseen, unwanted, and maybe even uncared for. How would that make you feel if you just kind of became like the landscape and people just walked by you and kind of forgot that you were there? Again, I can only speak for myself, but I think that I would be pretty miserable. Pretty upset. You probably wouldn't want to be around me. I would definitely be a miserable person. And it's possible that this man, as he sat day in and day out at these temple gates, that he even knew who Peter and John were. He probably has seen these two men come and go before, and maybe even knew that they had followed Jesus. We don't really know, but we know that he was probably overlooked and that he was probably in that spot often. So what makes this time any different? Why is it this time that Peter and John stop and acknowledge the man, and this specific man, on that day? They probably had walked by him multiple times going to pray. Why was this time different? What made this different? Today, or that day, something was different. And it wasn't just Peter and John woke up and they're like, you know, it's a good day, I'm going to head to that temple. Bet you there's probably a lame man there. If I tell him to get up, he'll probably walk. This seems like a good day. The sun is shining. It's perfect. Perfect weather. They're going to have a great day walking. This is the day. There was something greater happening within Peter and John than just the perfect day to go make a man walk. And we find our answer in chapter 2 of Acts. So if you're in your Bible, you would just flip back probably a couple pages to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What was different about this day was that Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had led them and opened their eyes to see a need that was right in front of them. We have to walk in tune with the Holy Spirit and ask him to open our eyes to the needs around us. We need to ask him to break our hearts for what breaks his. If you choose to ask God to break your heart for what breaks his, he will, and then you'll realize that how much more you need to lean on him, because you may not fully understand why he's breaking your heart, but you will find comfort in his presence. So meeting and recognizing needs starts by knowing the heart of the Father. And to know the heart of the Father, all you got to do is look up and look around. There are people all around you. That's his heart around you. To meet a need, you need to see it. You need to look up from whatever you're doing at that moment and look at people. We can't meet a need that we don't know is there. So just take a moment every day to just slow down and look around you and ask God, how can I be your hands and feet today? Open my eyes to see what I need to see. I don't know about you, but I tend to get stuck in my own little world, and I tend to rush to the next thing. It's always the next thing that I got to get to. I'm also big on lists. I love lists. I'll make a really big one on, like, Monday. I'm like, all right, I need to do all of this before Thursday so I can relax Friday and Saturday and then go do whatever is needed on Sunday. So I got to do this, and I like marking things off, so I just focus on that list until everything's marked off in pretty colors. That's what my focus is on that list. And I tend to miss everything that is around me at that point. I tend to miss people and the opportunities to love on people and show them Jesus because I get so focused on my list. It's really hard to see others around you and go where God leads you or wants you to go when your focus is so narrowed in on other things. We can become blind to what is around us even while doing good things. What I'm doing during the week, that long list, it may be great things all for the kingdom of God, but if I'm missing people as I'm doing that and I'm missing the opportunity to love them like Jesus loves them, what's the point? When we slow down and look up from our phones and our to-do lists, we'll find a world of hurting people who need the love of Jesus. Looking up, I think, is the easiest part. It's choosing what to do with what you see that can be the hardest. But don't worry. You have all that you need. This man asked for money, but Peter gave him so much more. Through the power of Jesus, this man was healed. He left leaping and rejoicing. And we see in verse 8 that Peter had said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." We don't know if Peter or John, maybe they had some silver or gold, but it wasn't, you know, theirs to give away. Maybe they didn't have any. We don't really know if they had it or not, but either way, they may have seemed like they didn't have much to give. But what they did have to give was one of the most important things of all, Jesus. Peter used what he had. So you may not think that you have much to give, but if you have surrendered your life to Christ, you have all that you need, and that's you have everything to give. He'll lead you and he'll guide you, and he's going to give you exactly what you need when you need it. Because God has already perfectly created you and equipped you with everything you need. His Holy Spirit is living within you, who will lead you and guide you. God has given you gifts. He has given you talents and abilities that are going to help you step into whatever God has called you to do. And most of all, he's given you the people around you. He's given you a church family who can come alongside you and help support you as you go out and love people like Jesus. We have so much more to offer than we may think we do. And God doesn't make mistakes. He knows who you are because he created you, and he knows what he's given you because he's given it to you. So whatever God has placed before you, whether he has given you the talent of music, whether it's encouragement, whether he's given you the funds, if it's your voice, if you love teaching, whatever he has given you, whatever he has placed in your hands, use it for his glory to go out and reach a lost and hurting world. He's going to supply everything else you need. So sometimes you're going to be asked to step out of your comfort zone and what you think may be your skill set. But he's going to give you exactly what he needs in these moments. Let's be honest. Preaching and teaching, I feel like I'm stepping out of my comfort zone doing this. I'm usually with children. So this is a big step out of my comfort zone as it is. But he's going to give you exactly what you need when you need it. He's going to give you the words to say, and he's just going to give you everything you need if you just lean into him. And sometimes when the Lord speaks, you have to act right away, or the opportunity to obey the Lord and serve others will be gone. So let God be God, and rest knowing that you don't have to have it all together all the time. You don't have to know what to do next. You don't have to know the next thing to say, the next place to go, or whatever. Just lean into him and let him guide you. The Holy Spirit led Peter and John to this man who was lame and then gave them power to heal through the name of Jesus. When we lean into him, not only do we grow in our relationship with our Father and our Creator, we are then filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We can't do this life alone, and Jesus knew that. Before he left, he sent us a helper. He sent us the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Being a follower of Christ is more than just a Sunday or Wednesday ordeal. It's about serving others and going into the world to show the love of Christ and preach the gospel. A quote that really ties this all together is actually from my father. I was listening to him preach the other week, and he said, "We are not meant to be once a week Sunday morning spectators of our preferred religious show. We are meant to be following Jesus and participating in the kingdom of God all week long." How are you participating in the kingdom of God during the week? Now, we may not all be called to be pastors, to be teachers, or a missionary and physically leave the state or leave the country to go share the love of Jesus with others, but we are called to share the love of Jesus with those that we come in contact with, to share the gospel everywhere we go. And sharing the love of Jesus can look different every time you do it. Sometimes it may be just flat out telling people about Jesus, or it may be meeting a need and while being the hands and feet of Jesus. And we may not lead people to Christ when we meet their needs or when we see them first off. Sometimes we will, but other times we're just planting that seed of the gospel that somebody else will then water. So do not be discouraged. If God has asked you to do something and you've obeyed him, that's all that matters. 1 Corinthians forgot to put my chapter in here, but it says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters works together for the same purpose. We're all working together. We're all doing this together. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Lean into the Holy Spirit and obey when he asks you to take action, and let the rest of the work up to him. We can't bring someone to salvation. That's something God does within them. We just plant the seed of the gospel, or maybe we're just watering it, and then God makes it grow. So you may never see the outcome of your planting and your watering on this earth, but in eternity you will. So as we lean into the Holy Spirit, we'll also begin to recognize his voice and when he's leading us to take action. This other week, I was with some friends, and we were sitting on a rock, quiet, watching the sunset. Peace is wonderful. Quiet is wonderful. And then my friend spoke up and said, I need your opinion. It could go one of two ways with her. But she shared a moment of when she felt like she was supposed to go pay for someone's gas, but she wasn't really sure. She's like, is this God? Is it not? Is it just me? Am I judging people by their appearances? She didn't know. And by the time she had made up her mind of what she was going to do, the moment had already passed. But as we lean into the Holy Spirit, we'll begin to know God's voice for moments like that. So we'll know this is God speaking. He's telling me to take action. It's time to go. So as we lean into the Holy Spirit, we get to know God's voice and what it's like when he speaks to us. We'll then be able to take action and walk in confidence, knowing that this is God speaking to me and this is what I'm supposed to do. As we look up and as we lean into God, we'll see what the need is around us and how we are supposed to meet it. The Lord will guide us and give us ideas on how we're supposed to meet these needs that we may have never thought of on our own. And as you look up, you may become overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but if you were to just look at any part of this world today, you may get a little overwhelmed on what am I supposed to do? It's so dark, you know? But as we look up to just the people around us, we'll see needs, some physical, some spiritual. But as we lean into the Holy Spirit and ask him where we're supposed to go, we'll know the needs that we need to meet. We cannot physically and mentally take on every single need that we see. It's why we have each other. Because God is going to place different things on our hearts to go and do. And it's going to look different for everyone. But we're all working together towards the same goal, sharing Jesus with a broken and hurting world, and we need each other. We all have something we can give to others, whether we're giving hope, love, Jesus, encouragement, whatever we have to give. We need to walk in tune with the Spirit and ask him to open our eyes to those around us. We need to reach out and touch the lives of people. If God brings something to your attention and he tugs on your heart, he's going to give you the power and all that you need in that moment to go do what he's asking you to do. Because obedience is better than all the works you could do for Jesus. If God asks you to take action and to go do something, but you say, God, I'm too busy over here doing this for you, you've got it all wrong, because you don't have to work to get into heaven, but your faith requires action. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If God asks, go do. We're all called to go to people. We can't just sit here in our seats and in our beautiful building and expect people to come to us and tell us exactly what they need plainly, to just walk through these doors and be like, I think I finally realized I need Jesus. No, we're called to go into the world, so we need to go into the world to share Jesus. You may not think you have much, but you have so much more than you may think to give. I'm currently studying a course on the book of Acts. That's why we are in the book of Acts today. And a quote from it said, a touch can heal the heart, even when it cannot change circumstances. Human beings need kind physical contact, a hand placed on the shoulder in compassion, a hug of empathy, or a warm handshake can remind a suffering person that someone cares. that he or she is not alone. You have so much to offer, even if it's just a simple hug. Pray and ask God to show you the needs that are around you. And then when he reveals that to you, be the hands and feet of Jesus with joy and humility, and then go out into the world and shine the light of Jesus in a dark and broken world. So I'm going to share with you today a family that looked up, saw a need, and then went. So this is the Dominguez family. They saw a need and felt the nudge from the Lord, which led them to Kensington, Philadelphia. So we're going to show you a little video of the Dominguez family, just explaining a little bit of how God led them there and a little bit of what they're doing with the help of the Holy Spirit.
My wife and I, we moved here with our family back in 2016, really with the call to see the birthplace of America changed and restored. It's a city that really instilled so much greatness into this whole nation, but it's also a city with so much brokenness.
The most violent year in our lifetime.
Last year, there were about 2,200 shootings and about 499 murders. I believe this year, we're already past 500 murders. It's just heartbreaking to what's happening here in the city.
If a person walks down Kensington, you are gonna see third world conditions. You're gonna see needles all over the floor. You see people in very desperate, hopeless situations.
God really called us to the city to bring change and to revive what we believe is God-given dreams. And we believe that God-given dreams are awakened when we connect people to Jesus. By connecting them to Jesus, man, a God-given dream is anything that expands the kingdom of God. Seeing the brokenness throughout the city right out of our home, we said, hey, we got to do something. We set up a partnership with the Dream Center in Los Angeles, and right away we said, hey, let's bring a Dream Center right here to the city. We saw a city that was a very unorthodox city, and this city needed a very unorthodox church. After about a year of serving out of our home, God moved us to about a 2,500 square foot facility, and we were there for about 15 months. And then God moved us to about a 4,500 square foot facility. And today we're sitting in about a 50,000 square foot facility that we believe it's gonna be a beacon of hope and a place where God-given dreams are awakened right here in the birthplace of America. We connected with the priest that's overseeing five parishes in the area. Something that he said was that I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to do something here. So we've been working with the Archdiocese now. It looks like we might be closing very soon on this building. And the next steps are to start renovating and start really building the rooms and the spaces that we need to start bringing hope to the lives here in the city of Philadelphia. This building, it's on a property with four buildings. It has a parking lot. It has a rectory where the priests used to live. It has a convent where the nuns used to live. It has a school and it has a church. And we're so excited to occupy this place, to be able to give men and women a place to live. And not only that, but also a school where we could start after school programs and get kids off of the streets and just teach them a new way of life. You know, three things we tell people that could really go a long way. It's pray, serve, or give. You know, this is a massive undertaking, and I know that we're gonna need a lot of partnership in finances as well, and we need the one-time gifts. We need specialty trades where people could come out and serve and help us build out some of the building, and your partnership will go a long way. You know, all the giveaways are awesome. The toys we give away are fantastic, and the food that we're able to give people is amazing. But the greatest gift that people need, it's really Jesus. And this city, it's broken not because of the lack of fathers, not because of the presence of drugs, but because of the lack of God. And we believe that this city could be changed just by bringing God back into the city. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do through the buildings, through the outreaches, through the ministry we have. We want to present the gospel to every person that we come in contact with.
So the Dominguez family actually packed up all their kids and moved from Florida to Pennsylvania because they saw a need. Now, God may not be calling you to pack up everything and move to a completely different state, city, or country. He may not be calling you to go anywhere, but he is calling you to meet needs right here where you're at, whether it's in your community, in your family, or in your church. There is a need that you have seen when you have looked up, and you may be feeling the Holy Spirit speaking to you now, telling you that that is a need that you can and should meet. So when we lean into the Holy Spirit and we follow where he leads, we cannot even imagine all that he's going to do in us and through us. I mean, look at the building that these people, that the Dominguez family are going to get to serve in. It's so much more than they ever could have thought. They actually didn't think they were going to get the building, and they were able to get it. So there's, when you lean into the Holy Spirit and you follow him, you never know what he's going to do in you or through you. So today, let's just take a moment and let's seek God together. Let's ask him to open our eyes to the needs that are around us and to show us what we can do and how we can meet them. So in these next few moments, ask God to reveal to you, what need can I meet this week? So then, lean in, listen for the voice of God, then look up, and when you see the need and when God speaks, obey, and then go. So if you'll stand with me, let's worship together.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your presence. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
When you leave this building today, you are now entering your mission field. Your mission is to tell the world and those around you about Jesus and to share the love of Christ with them. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day, God, and we thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, would you just empower us to go out and to tell the world about you? Lord, open our eyes to see the needs that are around us, God, and give us exactly what we need to meet needs, Lord. When you speak, go, may we go, Lord. May we just obey you with everything, Lord. Lord, just may this week be full of your presence, Lord, and bring us all together next week for such a great time in your presence and together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.